Joshua calling the creator a masterpiece.
Joshua, take care of her.
I promise.
It's the best film of the year. Phenomenal. The best sci-fi film in ages.
They're coming to get me.
I'm getting you out of this.
The creator is breathtaking in scale and vision. It's mesmerizing, visually stunning. See this film on the biggest screen possible. The Creator, rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13. Only in theaters September 29th. Get tickets now.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Friday, September 22nd. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. TikTok is facing bans in America and Europe. Now, those could expand to Africa, where some governments have already taken steps against the social media company, and others are debating restrictions. Our reporter Alexandra Wexler has been looking into what the company is facing across the continent, and she'll join us to explain how TikTok is pushing to keep its app operational there. But first, a massive deal in the software world. Cisco Systems will buy cybersecurity company Splunk in a $28 billion cash deal. Cisco hopes the acquisition will help it move further into the artificial intelligence space. In recent years, Cisco's moved away from its traditional business of selling hardware like routers and switches and focused more on software, buying up smaller companies to boost growth. Splunk makes software used by companies' information technology and security operations to monitor and analyze data. The companies expect the deal to close within a year following a required regulatory review. Cryptocurrency companies are starting to look overseas for growth as regulators in the U.S. continue their crypto crackdown. Executives at Rise Labs, Ripple Labs, and Zodia Markets, for example, have said they're all focusing outside the country. Our reporter Alexander Osipovich has more on where these companies are moving.
Dubai, Singapore, Hong Kong have made some efforts to create regulatory regimes specifically for crypto companies that would allow some basic investor protections the way you want to have in a regulated marketplace, but also conducive to crypto companies and their ability to do business. The US is generally the largest financial market in the world. And so if crypto loses the US or loses access to the US, it is bad for the development of crypto. The hope among people in the crypto industry is that other jurisdictions will be friendlier, and so they'll be able to develop new things, find new solutions, and develop abroad, just not here in the United States.
Amazon devices are getting a boost from generative artificial intelligence. This week, the e-commerce giant announced it's adding capabilities to its smart home gadgets. The outgoing head of Amazon's device business, Dave Limp, demonstrated it at the company's HQ2 offices in Virginia. Here's a clip of that.
Alexa, let's chat.
Hi there, what can I help you with?
How are you?
I am doing well. I am very happy to be able to help so many people every day by chatting with them. How about yourself?
Doing great.
Previews of the new AI capabilities are coming out before the end of the year. If you have an existing Echo and Fire TV products, you'll be able to request access. With me to discuss these new features is the Journal's Personal Technology Bureau Chief, Wilson Rothman. Wilson, we just heard some of that short back and forth. Can you tell us a bit more about the new capabilities for Alexa?
So the new Alexa really addresses a lot of problems that we've all had with Alexa in the past. A big one is when you're trying to watch TV and you say, hey, I want to see that movie with Tobey Maguire in it, and you can't really remember what movie it is, and it doesn't know what you're talking about. And it's just like, I don't know. We all heard Alexa say far too many times, I don't know what you're talking about, essentially. So now with generative AI, you can think of it as a two-way street. It not only can say more because it's generating it, but it can also understand more coming in.
Are there any challenges for Amazon in integrating this kind of technology?
Amazon has up to 1 billion devices out there that use this voice assistant that we've all put in our own houses. So the challenge that they have is if it starts doing weird things like opening your garage door at 2 a.m. or telling your kids crazy stuff, like that's going to be a huge problem that'll ripple across the country or the world. So it's not just a web window where you're typing your query and it says something crazy. This is a device that's already in everyone's home. So they're being careful in two ways. One, they're giving a preview to people who register. And then the other thing they're doing, obviously, which is what is kind of a big talk around AI in general, is putting guardrails on it.
So you're inviting AI into your home a bit more. You want to make sure it's safe when it gets there. We also saw this kind of delay when Dave Limp was testing it.
What would you like to ask me?
How's my favorite football team doing? How's my favorite football team doing?
Vanderbilt football is ranked 5th in the SEC East.
Does that moment show that Amazon's AI is just not quite ready?
Honestly, Apple's gone away from doing live presentations of new technology. Everything they do now is canned. Amazon, it was taking a risk by demonstrating a very new pre-beta technology, essentially, live for an audience. But I figured out what that the delay was. He was using something where if he looked into the camera, it would know that he was talking to it. And when he didn't quite look into the camera, it didn't know that it was supposed to listen. So it was a weird little glitch there, but I don't actually think it reflected poorly on the AI itself, just in this new trick they've invented for the Echo Show devices.
It seems like every big tech company is coming out with some kind of generative AI tool these days. We've seen lots of launches. Why is Amazon doing this now? It hasn't been a massive player in this space.
Yeah, Amazon has a key grip on a certain part of our lives, and that is the home. They've been the biggest innovator for smart home devices. They have the biggest placement of not only speakers, but compatible light switches, door locks, and all those other things that kind of fall into that smart home category. And Amazon can't lose that edge. They don't have a billion iPhones like Apple does. They need to have this presence in the house to grow their own kind of mind share with their customers. So it is in some ways a life or death thing. If everyone is starting to do generative AI, Alexa has to do it generative AI. And then on top of that, like I said, the problems that we all had with Alexa before can be answered with this technology if it's implemented correctly.
All right, that's our personal tech bureau chief, Wilson Rothman. Coming up, TikTok is facing bans across Africa. And the reasons are different from concerns raised in the US and Europe. We'll explain what the social media company is up against now. That's after the break.
As a Citi National client, you get a dedicated team of banking professionals working alongside you. From a relationship manager who works with you on everyday business needs to a business banker who drives your goals into the future. Come in to meet your team at Citi National Bank. See what personal can do for you at cnb.com.
In the US and Europe, politicians have raised concerns about how TikTok could be linked to espionage. They claim the company's Beijing-based parent company, ByteDance, could be forced to share information with the Chinese government, something the company has said it would not do. Now, the social media platform is also facing criticism in Africa over the kind of content it shows to users. And while the reasons for concern are different, the impact could be the same. Bans. Here to discuss what TikTok is facing in Africa and what it means for the company's business is our reporter Alexandra Wexler. Alexandra, we've talked a lot about bans in the US and Europe before. Where in Africa is it facing bans?
So at the moment, TikTok is having trouble in Senegal in West Africa and Somalia and Kenya in East Africa. Senegal is the only country so far that's actually enacted and enforced a ban. Somalia has announced a ban, but has not actually implemented it. And Kenya is discussing it where a private citizen has actually petitioned the government to ban the app in the country.
What are African governments concerned about with TikTok?
In Kenya, there are concerns over sexually explicit content where users are using TikTok, basically filming themselves having sex or sexual acts and soliciting. And in Somalia, the concern is more around terrorism. The terrorist group Al-Shabaab uses TikTok in Somalia, and there are concerns about violent extremism. And then in Senegal, the government in Senegal blocked TikTok, some say in an attempt to silence government critics. And the Senegalese government is saying it's because of hateful and subversive messages. So they're all a little bit different from what's going on in the US at the moment.
And all a little bit different from each other. But I want to narrow in on Kenya, where you said one citizen petitioned parliament to ban TikTok. Can you tell us how that came about and where things stand with that effort?
Yes, Kenya is a little bit different. In August, a Kenyan businessman petitioned parliament to ban the app in the country. He said that he believed TikTok was eroding Kenyan culture and religion, specifically mentioned the sexual content on the app late at night, and that it was degrading women and wasn't good for children. So basically, the parliamentary speaker asked a committee to look into the idea. And that's when TikTok reached out to the president of Kenya and set up a meeting between him and TikTok's chief executive, who's based in Singapore. It was a video call.
What has TikTok said about that?
So TikTok said that there had been a meeting that was set up and delayed several times, but that this meeting was basically centered on this petition because that was what was going on at the time. And TikTok said it had committed more resources to doing content moderation in the country, hiring more Kenyans, and then also to helping Kenyans make more money off of TikTok.
Is TikTok taking similar steps or tailored steps to address bans in other African nations?
So TikTok says that it very often reaches out to various African governments, whether they're facing bans or there's some kind of issue in that country or just as a routine matter of business. So TikTok has said that in Africa at the moment, in the countries that it's facing these bans, in Senegal, has not received any communication from the government about the ban. But in Somalia, it is engaging with the government at the moment, and that's the country where the ban has yet to be enforced.
How big a deal is Africa to TikTok's overall business?
So TikTok wouldn't disclose how many users they have in Africa, but Africa is a very young continent, actually the world's youngest continent, and TikTok is particularly popular amongst young people. So it would be logical to assume that Africa is either already a very big market for TikTok or potentially a very big market for TikTok, especially because of the mobile phone penetration and internet penetration on the continent and how quickly that's growing and how big the penetration is.
You know, Alexandra, TikTok has said it's unprofitable partly because it's spending a ton of money to try and silo its US and European operations. So what does it mean if it starts facing bans in these African countries that could be very important to its operations overall?
Is definitely not a good thing. Look, I would be very, very surprised if they were spending as much money fighting bans in these African countries as they are around this potential ban in the US. But they seem keen to not have African countries or regions starting a domino or a snowball effect that then spreads across more of the continent.
That was our reporter, Alexandra Wexler. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang. I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Our supervising producer is Melanie Roy. Our development producer is Aisha Al-Muslim. Our deputy editors are Scott Salloway and Chris Zinsley, and Falana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. We'll be back with a new show on Monday. Thanks for listening.